A brand new day. A day in which we rejoice in the Lord. God has led you to his man. And I want to compliment this church, because very few churches that I know about have ever given a pastor a 97% call. I praise God for you and the testimony of your unity, the testimony of you sticking together for a long time. There's been a lot of special speakers through here in the last couple of years. Some you may have been thrilled about, some you may not have been, but you endured. All of us strangers coming in and enjoying our time here, I can tell you that. But we are rejoicing with you today, and we are praising God that no longer, when people ask you about the church, no longer can you say, oh, we're in between pastors now. You're no longer in between pastors. You have one. And I hope his name will become very popular in your home. As you pray for this man of God, as he comes here to minister, I don't know him, I've not met him yet, but I can tell you he's coming to a great church. And we're praising God and asking God to do great and mighty things for his honor and for his glory in the days that lie ahead. This is indeed a happy day. God has heard your prayers, and God has brought you his man. I'm going to ask you to do something that I don't think I have ever heard of it being done before. I'm going to ask each one of you to get the new pastor's address, and I'm going to ask you to write just a short paragraph that we're so glad you're coming and we're praying for you. Can you imagine what's going to happen in the heart and the lives of this young family? Because they're leaving people they've loved for a long time. It's going to be a hard time when they drive out of town. When Diane and I drove out of Penyan, New York, after being there for 10 years, our kids got crying. And as we came up on the mountain off of Penyan, we had to pull over to the side of the road, and we just sat there as a family of six and wept our eyes out. Because we were leaving people that we had loved so long and going all the way to this strange place called Indianapolis. But God was in that call, but it was hard. It is not going to be easy for this man and his family, his wife. And so perhaps just a card or a note from you. Don't give him a whole bunch of scriptures. Don't preach to him. Just encourage him and tell him that you're glad that he's coming. Where could they get that address? You get it out. All right. So just send him a quick note and encourage his heart in the things of the Lord. I would like to declare today a day of jubilee. I'll explain that. You're welcome. Have a nice seat there. We're glad you came today. And I want us to enjoy this day together, because God has done great things for you, whereof we are glad. And so rejoice with me today as we take the pages of the Word of God and find from the pages of the Word of God that God enjoys his people when they're happy and filled with joy and filled with happiness. God wants us to be happy Christians. The whole book of Philippians is all centered around the whole subject of joy and rejoicing in the Lord. This is the day the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. We are to be a rejoicing kind of people. We are to be people who enjoy our faith and enjoy our Lord. Now, I'm going to say something, and I want you to hear me well, and don't misquote me, because you could get me in a lot of trouble. But in some cases, some churches have allowed the Pentecostals to take away our joy because we're so fearful that we might do something where somebody would say, oh! Especially amongst churches that are filled with the chosen frozen. We are not chosen frozen. We are happy in the Lord and thankful for his goodness. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we ought to continue to be a joyful people. And on this very special Sunday, it ought to be a time of real joy and real rejoicing that God led the church together to have this kind of a vote, and that this man of God has accepted your call. I remember we had a Sunday school contest when I was in Penn Yan. We had a guest speaker there, Wilbur Rook. Some of you that are really, really old will remember Wilbur Rook. Wilbur Rook was the speaker, and we'd just finished the Sunday school contest, and there was a lot of joy because we'd won. We'd beat all the other churches, and there was a great happiness. He came to the pulpit, and he just... I can hear him with his little laugh. God loves to see his people happy. I'll never forget that. God loves to see his people happy. And today we trust that God will encourage our hearts and help us to celebrate and recognize that we have a lot of things in the future. We have the future of First Baptist Church, and we have the future of one of these days, the Lord returning and taking us home to be with. We got a great future, and we are here today to rejoice in God's goodness. Now, throughout the pages of the Word of God, there is a lot about celebrations and celebrating. In the Old Testament especially, God established many special days for celebration. And these days were so big that many times thousands of people would travel all over from that part of the world, Israel and its environs, would travel down to Jerusalem for special times of celebration. In fact, we're told that sometime between 180,000 and 200,000 people, some coming as far away as India, traveling all the way down to Jerusalem for a time of special celebration. That's because God in his word in the book of Leviticus announced several times when the people of Israel were to get together and celebrate and enjoy the goodness and the faithfulness of God and to rejoice in him. You have your Bible. I want you to turn with me to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25. And in these passages, you will find several celebrations, but I want you to notice the special celebration for today begins in verse 8. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 8. The title in my Bible is The Year of Jubilee. Count off 7 Sabbaths, says the Lord to his people. 7 Sabbath years. 7, of course, has a very special meaning in the pages of the Word of God. 7 days of creation and sevens all the way through the Bible. It's the number of divinity. It's the number of God. 7 times 7, so that the 7 Sabbath years amounts to a period of 49 years. Every 7 years was a jubilee, and then there'd be a special jubilee on the 50th, which would be 7 times 7, the 49, and the 50th year would be the year of celebration. Then I want you to have the trumpet sound. There's nothing small about that. You've seen the trumpets. We had one here a few months ago. And hundreds of those trumpets would sound. It would bring shivers up your spine as you heard these magnificent horns played all over Israel. Then have the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, sound the trumpets throughout the land. Now, does that sound like frozen believers to you? It sounds like Israel was to get together and rejoice in the goodness and the faithfulness of the Lord. The Day of Atonement, sound the trumpets throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee. A jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to his family property. Come on home. And to his own clan. Come on home. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow, do not reap what grows itself in the harvest, the unintended vines, for it is a jubilee. It's a jubilee that is to be holy for you. Eat only what is taken directly from the fields. In this year of jubilee, everyone is to return to his own property. If you sell land to any others of your own people to buy the land from them, do not take advantage of each other. Drop down to verse 17. Do not take advantage of each other. The Jubilee was a special time every 50 years when the people would not sow the crops. The land would be laid barren for 1 year. God assigned them an assignment that before this would happen, they would lay up stores of food so that they would not have to plant anything during that 1 year time. It was a time when the land would rest. It was a time when the people would rejoice and the people would learn to trust the Lord and to believe him and then to rejoice in him. It was a time of great celebration. Verse 18, follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws and you will live safely in the land. And then as you read down through the rest of the passage, it talks about the year of Jubilee. When you get down to verse 28, and the Jubilee in verse 28 as well. And then over to verse 38, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. This was a special time of celebration for the people of Israel. On the seventh day of the seventh year, and then 70 times 7, 49, on the 50th year, was to be this hallowed time of Jubilee. As a former staff member here at this church, not many of you will remember that time, because that was exactly 50 years ago this year that I was here on staff. You're saying, he's really old. And you're right. It was a long... Of course, I was only 3 or 4 years old. No, I... That's a long, long time ago. Even Michael was little then. That's a long time ago. But as one who's been here, and then a friend of the church... And then one who married one of your girls, Diana Miller. This church has become our home church. And then a church that believed that God had something for us in the future. And this church ordained me to the gospel ministry. And I've shared this with you way back when I first started coming here in this interim time. I've shared with you that ordination is repeated, and I talk about it all the time, all around the world. And every time I say the word horseheads, people laugh. And I have to explain to them what horseheads means. I tried in Chinese to explain to them. They giggled uncomfortably. I think I might have got the wrong end of the horse. I'm not sure. They didn't think it was horribly funny, so I'm very fearful what they went away with that day. But I say to you, just as one who loves this church and thankful for this church and its faith it had in me and my wife, that I want to declare this to be the day of Jubilee. A day of Jubilee for First Baptist Church. A day of new beginnings. A lot of planning needs to go into all of this. And so we pray that God will bless and lead you in the days that lie ahead in this transition time. This is a day that there's a brand new chapter going to be written on the history of First Baptist Church. A day when we accept the words of Paul, forget those things that are behind, and press forward now to the new chapter. Because we write that chapter. We write that chapter for God's honor and for God's glory. We move forward trusting God that He is going to continue to be faithful to us. This is to be a day of rejoicing, a day of blessing, as this church goes through this wonderful, wonderful experience of calling the man of God who will minister in this place. Now, the elements of the Jubilee in the Old Testament can be brought to the day in which we live. Because in the Old Testament Jubilee, it was supposed to be a time that was specially given to praise. Well, that's appropriate for today. We ought to give special time to praise. It is a time of physical and spiritual refreshment. That's appropriate for us today, don't you believe? The Jubilee was to be a time of coming home. Isn't that a great thought? Coming home. And then a day of a new conversation. A day of new encouragement. Don't take advantage of one another, but be an encourager to one another. This is to be a time of kindness to the fellow members of the church. It is to be a time of the redemption of the land. So we glean these thoughts from the Old Testament, bring them over to today, and recognize that this indeed can be a day of great jubilee as we experience and express the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We are not called to be sad sack Christians. We are called to be happy Christians. We're called to rejoice constantly in the name of the Lord and His faithfulness and His goodness. First of all, I want you to notice the Jubilee celebration. You're at verse 10 of the passage that we have just read. It shall be a Jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to your family property and to your own clan. It is a time of celebration. God is saying here, make it special. And I'm trusting that these days that lie ahead before this new pastor arrives will be a day of special things happening for God's honor and for God's glory. We are not to give way to the mundane or the routine or the usual or to the ordinary, but rather move forward with great faith in what God has planned for us. It is a time for the blowing of the trumpets. It is a time to praise the Lord. It's like that time of a golden wedding anniversary. Last year, we celebrated our golden wedding anniversary, and what a special time of reflecting over the last 50 years with the same woman. And how wonderful that has been. Jeremiah says, I have plans for you at First Baptist Church. Jeremiah says, I have plans not to hurt you, but to bless you and to give you a great future. Several years ago, I traveled to the Ukraine. They had just come out of the Soviet Union. And for the first time in many, many years, they were free to worship. Communism was now done away with. The Soviet Union no longer had their troops outside their doors. I got to tell you, They were happy people. For all these years, they'd been meeting out in the woods. For all of these years, they worshiped out in the middle of the forest, hidden away from view. Now, all of a sudden, with the fall of communism and the fall of the Soviet Union, they're back together. And while we were there, their pastor, after 28 years, was released from prison. And he came back to that church. Their building was still there, even though they didn't worship in it because they couldn't. I've got to tell you, there was great crying, but it was the crying of the joy kind of crying. There was a rejoicing that now their pastor, who solidly stood up for the Bible, every day they would say, if you recant your faith, we'll set you free. And every day he'd say, no. And for 28 long years, he took his stand. Now he's free. Now he's standing in his pulpit. Honestly, I got to tell you, he was in his 50s, but he looked like he was in his 80s. They had robbed his life from him, to be sure. But all the happiness and the joy as they came home together, and as they rejoiced in God's faithfulness. We are to call upon the Lord and ask him to help us to rejoice and be a blessing to others. And certainly this great church there in Odessa was rejoicing in the Lord as their pastor now was back with them. As we celebrate, we think about chapters in the Bible like Psalm 100. Have you read Psalm 100 lately? Psalm 100 says, shout for joy. Go to a football game. My goodness, you hear people screaming. And when they come out of the football game, they hardly have any voice. And it's just about making a touchdown. And yet, we have so many things to praise God for. Our lives, our salvation, our family, our church. And the Bible says we're to shout for joy, the joy of the Lord. And all the earth, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. And boy, didn't the group do a job today leading us in joyful songs. And know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. How can you help but not praise the Lord when you recognize all the wonderful things that God continues to do for us and the wonderful future that he has for us? A few years ago, Baptists in America had a celebration. I don't know if you know it or not, but First Baptist Church of Providence, Rhode Island, was the first Baptist church to be established in this country in 1638. And I had a relative there by the name of Elder John Crandall, along with famous men like Obadiah Holmes. They established the First Baptist Church in the United States of America. And these men and women gathered together to establish that first church with terrible persecution from those who were not Baptistic at all in any way, shape, or form. And they wrote down these words, which echoed down through the history of Baptist churches, and they said, we whose names are underwritten do hereby, in the presence of Jehovah, incorporate ourselves, and we will submit our persons, our lives, and our estates unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be guided by the most absolute laws of God in the holy word of truth to be guided and judged thereby. And with that, they took their stand. And from that, the Baptist churches in America take their origin. It was a time of jubilee and celebration as they established their first church, and they committed to the Word of God and each other, and they committed to the joy of worshiping together for the glory and honor of the Lord. There's a jubilee message that is found back here in Leviticus in chapter 25 in verse 17. In verse 17, the Word of God says, "Do not take advantage of each other, but fear your God. I am the Lord, your God." There's two focuses here, one upon treating others well. The second thing is to treat your God well. To be God's kind of people, and as God's kind of people, love and honor and cherish the brothers and sisters in Christ that worship and labor together. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I call jubilee thinking. And I'd like to challenge all of us to do a little bit of jubilee thinking. That the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the head of this church. We did not invent this place. God did. And then we need to reflect on the fact that we are His bride. And we are to be preparing for Him to come back as the bridegroom, to take us to His home to forever be with Him. It is a fresh kind of thinking as we reflect upon the old truths of the Word of God, that we need to protect the church of Christ, that we need to love the church of Christ. We need to pray for the church of Christ because it's His church. Don't mess with it. It's His church. And we are to encourage one another and have the philosophy, how can I help? That sounded almost like a southerner, didn't it? Not sure where that came. How I can help? You've been watching undoubtedly in the fall to the geese from Canada heading south. They're the smart geese. Now, there's some dumb geese that decide to stay. I don't know what their problem is, but they're sure stupid. But you've noticed something, I'm sure. All the years you've seen the geese go over, they fly in a V formation. That's not by accident. God is the creator. And God created them with this information. God created them so that when they took off, there would be a leader. How do they know that? God told them. I have no other way to explain it. One's the leader. And then they immediately go into a V formation. Scientists that have studied this for years and years and years tell us that as they're in that V formation, they give lift, airlift, to the goose that is behind them, enabling the goose that is behind them to be able to travel, listen to this, 70% further than if they flew alone. 70%. Now, the guy up front, he's honking away, keeping them all in order. And at one point, he says, "Boy, my wings are tired." He will immediately fall back into the group, and another leader will take over. And they will fly, and they will fly, and they will fly, until they reach the sign that says, "Welcome to Florida." I hate to tell you this, but that's what Diana and I are doing next week. But they encourage one another. They help one another. They give lift to one another. It's easy for them to work together because they help one another by working together. And the church of Jesus Christ is called to fly in formation. In the formation that will encourage and lift other people that are behind us. The philosophy of our lives ought to be, how can I help? What kind of strength can I bring to the church of Jesus Christ? One of the things I think the church needs to do, probably more than we do, is to teach our children to love the church and to help them understand why we attend this church and what it means to be part of a church family, loving the church. What can we do to help and encourage the church of Jesus Christ? There's the danger within the church of sometimes pushing our own agenda rather than depending upon the Lord's agenda. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, one generation plants trees, another gets the shade. There's a lot of people who've gone before us at First Baptist Church. They've planted the trees, and now we get the opportunity of basking in the shade. The Jubilee commitment, verses 18 and 19. Follow my decrees and be careful to obey all my laws, and you will live safely in the land. The Old Testament Jubilee was a time to love the Word of God, to love each other, and then go out into the world. There are several key words that ought to be part of any church family: sharing, caring, loving, bearing, liking, protecting, praying, giving, and growing. And ladies and gentlemen, I remind you today, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so God, give us a great vision for the future. I talk to you now about the man of God that you're calling. And I would say to you from the get-go, give him a break. He comes to a church where he knows no one. He comes to a church where his children know no one and his wife knows no one. They're strangers, but yet he's the pastor. When we went to Maranatha Baptist Church, we had a meeting with the deacons before my first Sunday, and there were 10 deacons. None of them I'd met before. One of them I'd met before, but the rest of them I did not. That first Sunday morning, one of the deacons came up to me and said, what's my name? I bet you don't remember. Well, he was absolutely right. It was a rude thing to do, and I felt bad, but I didn't know his name. But I'd just gotten there, and there was no break. There were 300-400 people there, and I was supposed to know everybody's name, including his. I can tell you his name's Charlie. But I didn't know it at the time. Give him a break. And then ask the Lord to help you never use these words. We never did it that way before. That's the 11th commandment in the pages of the Word of God. And then I'm going to tell you, as he comes, who has the hardest job in the church. And that's his wife. A wife has one of the hardest jobs in the church, supporting and loving her husband. But then when he gets shot at, or somebody takes advantage, or he has to go away from home and counsel and take care of ministerial things, and she's left alone with the kids. I know this because I'm married to a pastor's wife. And the emotional part of her ministry as she come here is going to be huge, especially at the beginning with, I think it's 4 children at home. You need to pray for him, you need to pray for her, and you need to pray for those children as well. And as he comes, encourage his heart in the Lord and let him know that you are on his bandwagon. You're going to support him. You're going to encourage him. And you're going to give him a break as he moves into this ministry. Will he make mistakes? I did. I assume he will. Is he perfect? No, he's not perfect. I don't think you found a perfect man, did you? He's not perfect. He's a human being. But he's your pastor. When you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, now listen to me very carefully. You will answer for yourself. But when he stands before the judgment seat of Christ, he will answer for himself, and he will answer for the church that he pastored. It's a huge responsibility being a pastor, but the greatest thing in all the world. Now, you've come through some interesting days, and you've stuck together, and here we are now to a new pastor. But I think there's some folks that we ought to acknowledge that have led this church through this time. I'd like Brother Paul to stand, please. I'd like the deacons, the pulpit committee, to stand. These folks, would you stand? These folks have spent hundreds of hours that you don't even know about, times that you have no understanding how difficult, secrets that they had to keep because they were not allowed to tell anyone else. Do you know how hard that is? When you ask questions, sometimes they say, I can't answer that. And then every pulpit committee I've ever seen, people begin to get uneasy and say, why aren't you guys moving? They really were, but they just couldn't tell you. I suggest that right now we stand and applaud our deacons and Brother Paul in their leadership ministry. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, since this is my last Sunday, I think I can do whatever I want to, almost. So here it is. Years ago, when I was a boy, in West Smyrna Baptist Church, the Baptist Bible College Quartet. Do you remember the old quartets that used to go out from the schools? Baptist Bible Quartet came, and they sang a song, and it was called Jubilee. Some of you that are older may remember that song. Some of you that are younger may not remember that song. But in our dedication of this day and the days that lie ahead as Jubilee, I'm going to once again ask you to stand. In a moment, we'll shut off the lights, and we're going to go just a little bit southern as we praise the Lord for this happy Jubilee. Would you stand, please? Let's have the lights. If you want to sing, you can. If not, just listen.